Monday morning, time to take a look at the week ahead. And can you imagine the day will come eventually when jobs, foreclosures, and the economy will not be high on the list of our agenda items, but not this week. So we're joined again by Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. You have a word for us this week?
Mess.
Okay. And also, Deo Olopade is joining us, a reporter for The Daily Beast and fellow at the New America Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a word for us this week?
Debate.
Debate. A debate yeah. Over messes in our agenda. Well, let's begin with the mess that is the foreclosure scene. Bank of America, which is the largest lender in the United States, froze foreclosures for all 50 states last week. The Obama administration, though, is not supporting a nationwide moratorium despite all the mess, as Charlie would say, over forged signatures and robo-signing. Here's presidential advisor David Axelrod speaking on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday.
I'm not sure about a national moratorium because there are, in fact, valid foreclosures that probably should go forward.
Okay, this whole situation is a mess. Some of these foreclosures will probably be challenged in court, which would lead you to say, well, let's just stop them until we get it worked out. But then if we do that, that will cause another mess, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing that's interesting about this is that consumer advocates for some time now have been saying that there is a problem in the foreclosure process, that whether it's banks who can't actually show that they have real ownership of the title to the property because the mortgages were sliced and diced so much, to this whole issue of robo-signing, people who said that they signed anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 documents a month without actually verifying that the information was accurate, you start getting into the situation where the information could actually be accurate, that this homeowner is not paying and the home should be foreclosed on, but that the procedures have not been followed properly. Every state has different procedures in terms of how foreclosures work. This just sort of goes to the fact that when the economy was doing well and foreclosures were happening in the background and people weren't paying as much attention, people didn't realize that there was really this big problem with the foreclosure process. And now we're at the situation where if you have this moratorium, that might be good in the short term for a lot of people and would also take off from the market a lot of these homes that are at much lower value, but was selling much lower than other homes.
The shadow inventory.
Yeah, but exactly, shadow inventory. Or just the fact that foreclosed homes sell often for about a quarter of the price of their neighborhood homes. But at the same time, it doesn't resolve the problem. So if you have a moratorium nationwide, you haven't fixed the problem. It's that Band-Aid is slowly being pulled off versus being ripped off.
Okay, well, let's move on to another mess, and that is the political debates going on from coast to coast. Midterm elections, we're now only 3 weeks away from them. And Dio, can you kind of give us, I mean, there's a lot of debates going on this week. That's no surprise. But where are there some surprises? Maybe there are some people who are in a closer race than they thought they would be at this point.
Right. Well, I think some of the races that are the most interesting to look at, the race for Senate in Wisconsin, obviously the race for Senate in Delaware with the very interesting, eccentric Christine O'Donnell, that's right, in a debate. The races in California are all of extreme interest. I think, you know, the thing about debates, 50 years after the Nixon-Kennedy debates this fall, you really do have this kind of transparency and airing out for voters who are just tuning in, a sense that, you know, talking points, sound bites are not the same as having an extended conversation on the pressing issues that are local. The national debate often sometimes overshadows issues that are important to regional voters. And so I think these sort of debates are, for some viewers, the first time they're really hearing from candidates. And that kind of transparency is great for democracy. And it really makes folks, you know, put up or shut up, as it were.
Well, let's move on to another place where there's a bit of a battle, a real battle, though, over democracy, and that's in the Sudan. The United Nations Security Council members just came back from a diplomatic mission in Sudan yesterday. Salva Kiir Mayardit, who's the president of the semi-autonomous southern Sudan, has asked the UN for some peacekeepers to be deployed along the northern border. And I'm wondering, what are the chances that the UN is going to step in here?
I think that there are, you know, the UN summit this fall, just a couple of weeks ago, did bring up the issue of Sudan, the issue of engagement. I think, honestly, the sort of international organizations, the UN, the ICC, struggle with legitimacy on the ground. And I think having regional support, for example, we know that the president of Sudan traveled to Kenya, and the Kenyan government, under international law, should have arrested him did not. So I think regional pressure from the AU, African pressure in general, is the sort of thing that will move the needle at the UN, especially when you have such a sort of large organization that struggles with legitimacy. I'm not sure whether or not you'll see boots on the ground soon, but I think most people would recognize the right of the Sudanese to have some sort of international presence and protection. That's not in dispute.
We're going to get the announcement of the Nobel Prize for Economics today, and I want to ask both you, Dayo, and Charlie, if you were on the committee, who would you vote for this prize?
I don't know if I could say. I could tell you who betters think may get it. And right now, two of the leading candidates are Robert Shiller, who studied the housing market, as well as Richard Thaler, who's somebody who studied behavioral economics, basically why people act the way they do in economies. And I think it's interesting that in both of those cases, the behavior impacted the markets and the financial crisis. And clearly, housing is still in the news.
Yeah. Dayo, do you have any different nominations there?
I will not stick my neck out and make a prediction, but I think Charlie's right to note that if you look at Paul Krugman's Nobel, it was sort of a political statement in a certain sense to say this type of thinking that led us into the crisis, or rather did not, is something to go forward with. I think the new norm might be a sort of symbiosis between the consumer and the government, which is precisely what these behavioral economists, many of whom, disciples of Richard Thaler, are in President Obama's White House.
Exactly.
I think trying to redefine the relationship between the consumer so that the default choices are the smart choices is productive for both. And so to make a statement of that political nature post-crisis is probably something the Nobel Committee may do.
Although I think Nobel and economics don't really go together. There should be like a Nobel Prize for plumbing or a Nobel Prize for like landscaping.
It has to be something they know about, John. Dayo Olopade is a reporter for The Daily Beast, and Bernard Schwartz Fellow at the New America Foundation as well. She joined us from Israel this morning, and Charlie Herman is with us in studio in New York. He's a Takeaways business and economics editor. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have a topic that you think we should cover and we're not, give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE and put it on our agenda.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.